bruises on the outside and the inside is slowly crumbling. Cuts and stitches from falling down drunk and stumbling. And it keeps falling into this bottle so deep. And I'm trying, but my arm is not long enough to reach. And I know sometimes love is not enough, but in this case it has to be. Cause that's all I could do is love and hope he loves himself enough to save my brother's life.
So I started thinking about ways that I could connect these two schools, Germantown High and Germantown Friends, which tend to have this kind of like West Side Story thing going on. Right. You know, like it's kind of like this little drama of the neighborhood, and it's kind of an unspoken thing largely until it kind of erupts into a big public fight or kids get into this, you know, something on the street where the news picks it up, and then it becomes, oh, there's Germantown youth. And so that kind of inspired a bunch of us. It was like a group of teachers who we kept talking about these Germantown kids and our kids at Germantown Friends who are not acting out in the ways that some of those Germantown youth are, but they're also being deprived in some very crucial ways. They're being sheltered in ways that aren't necessarily going to challenge them. And I have an amazing group of colleagues at GFS who really kind of came behind this idea, this brainstorm I had. It's like, I want to create a poetry festival, and I want kids from all the schools in this neighborhood to participate. And that was kind of my vision. And I mentioned it at an English department meeting one day, and two other colleagues said, I'll work on that with you. That sounds great. That sounds like something I want to do. And we just started meeting after school, and we started bringing in folks from the community, business associations, neighbors, activists, and even students who wanted to be a part of the kind of the planning process. And the first year, it was just kind of driven to creating this one-day event that would showcase Germantown youth.
And how many years has it been going on now?
Well, we've done two festivals, 2007, 2008, and this 2009 will be our third year.
Yeah. Well, why don't we listen to a poem called A Coming Knockout by Moira Quigley. I take it she was one of your students.
Yes, a senior at GFS, just graduated.
Okay. Well, let's listen to her poem, A Coming Knockout, and then we'll talk about it.
In this corner, the so tall hunk of love and made for thrusting, sweetness talking, piece of carry me arms with the blue eyes, cock smile, swimming in the musk muscled, kind of melting kind of man. In this corner, the smooth skin, glowing hair down to there with the candy ripple, tender fingertips to the wavy wonderful of sensual song. I'll color in the lines just to follow them, with hips made to dip to my heartstrings and bare beats making that milky kind of woman. And here I am, standing stark center in a tug-of-war with more than one line to cross, standing on my head, spinning minds, eyes in both directions, with both arms reaching and the other handcuffed. Wrist writhing, cause we ain't supposed to explore ourselves. Now ain't that sad? Round one, man makes a first move, a hit, getting my sexual education. We have the birds and the bees, and see, so babies come from spitting the nuts and bolts of life into those tiny, wandering ears. Why? And then, of course, I was count 'em all at 5 years old when I meet little Joseph with the dark hair, had a rat tail, who shared his cookie and put his head next to mine for nap time, and we played house in the sandbox. And that was love. Round two, and when it comes down to it, woman lands a right hook into that magic manlyhood because he can't find the right button to press, and honey, I ain't got all day. And that was love. And see, there's feet dancing, toe tapping, fist pounding, flesh smacking, bruising, kind of hurting, and I'm just plain knocked out, waiting for that sweet bell to ring and settle for a downright winner. But there ain't gonna be no chimes echoing between ears nibbled, no break recharging with a quick rub to a neck kiss, just so, So I'm just gonna have to keep holding up the rounds. One, two, three, pounding fist to floor, feeling like shoulders to ground, face up, ain't losing. Not when there's so much still untouched on, so much skin of that ivory smooth untraced. And I tell myself, I know woman, and she knows me. We have each other's constellations in our eyes, maps in our minds. We know how to follow to our North Stars. But see, man's got mystery, that yearning, sweet charm and chisel, lusting luck of me, wanting to know so much more of him. And ain't that all love? And see, there's plenty of me for you and him and she, all wrapped up in a pretty little bow of a big heart. Suit for some soul deep wishing, arms reaching, want it all kind of beaten. And today I'm handing out a lifelong deal. One love for two hearts, grab it while it's boiling hot and young. I'm having fun, why not join me? Cause there ain't no sense in limiting my options when I have two arms for both to hold and one heart made for beating and enough hips made for shaking between.
Well, I love this poem. I mean, luckily I got to choose it. But, I mean, the music, and it's amazing to me, like, this poem, Yolanda, has so much going on in terms of heartfelt. It's meant to be, I mean, it's dramatic. And you were telling me that she actually is a drama, or was a drama major.
Very talented actress.
And this poem, although it has all that freshness of, like, live performance, is amazing with its form as well. And it's one of the ways I actually was able to connect to it first, that I could really appreciate the balance of yin-yang, man, woman, and the tension between the two. And so I just wonder, how do you work with students at GFS in terms of that spontaneity but craft?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks, when they think about spoken word poetry, they might think of it something like kind of improv or hip-hop or something that just comes off the top of your head. And there are some really talented poets who can do that, and MCs. But for most of the work that I do with students, it starts with the poem on the page, and it starts with an exercise that I give them or a prompt that I use to inspire them in some way. Somebody like Moira doesn't need a lot of that, because she's got a lot of her own ideas and a lot of her own kind of platforms that she'd like to talk about. But it'll start with that poem on the page, and we'll talk about the form of that poem. And a lot of the times the poems that I get from students are free writes, or they're poems that kind of start in your journal as kind of like a diary entry. And what we do, kind of sitting down in my little classroom, at a desk, you know, the two chairs, really simple room where a lot of things happen, is we start to shape the poem. We start to make order out of kind of the chaos of being a teenager, or the chaos of, you know, what's on your mind today. And a lot of these poems, surprisingly for me, like, I just think of how limber, you know, the young mind is. And I remember when I was in high school and I could just write a poem in like 5 seconds and I'd just be so inspired, and, you know, I'd have 10 poems by the end of the half hour. They might not be all great, but I'd be so proud of having 10 poems. These kids can, you give them 20 minutes or 30 minutes in class to write, and they can really come up with something amazing. And then they kind of don't want to touch it because it's so beautiful and perfect and so well formed.
Don't we all know that?
Right. But I'm like, you know, that's kind of like your, I always use the metaphor, which they hate, which is like mental vomit, which now you have to go and sift through it, which is very messy work. But you have to find kind of the jewels in the mess. And that's kind of the process I do with them, sitting and having a conversation, which is the process that I hope that they will do with themselves as a poet. You know, when you kind of are working by yourself, you learn to revise your own work and have that inner conversation.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, we were talking about that's coming up is this Light of Unity performance. Or happening, really. It sounds very exciting for September 4th. Mm-hmm. And although these students that you're teaching at GFS may not really be part of this, the performance is benefiting the Germantown Poetry Festival, which, as you were explaining earlier, very much involves Germantown Friends School and the neighborhood. And I find it interesting that that there's this overlap, because the poetry that seems to be coming out of this work that you're doing is really about what is our life like. Let's say how it is, but it's also trying to bridge. Would it be fair to say it's trying to bridge through language to, so that other people who maybe don't have that experience are also drawn into it?
I definitely think that what we're trying to do is not only get young people to write the poems that are inside of them, but to connect with each other, and to start dialoguing through poetry workshops, through performance. And really the goal for me is to create that kind of community of young poets that grows every year. We still have kids from the first festival that we worked with who taught some of our workshops or participated in our workshops. And the goal is to create folks who not only write great poems, but have the commitment, like a lot of these poets in The Light of Unity, have a commitment to their communities, want to take poetry into communities and affect change in it some way, and not necessarily have to compromise their artistic path or their values to be activists. So I think kind of The Light of Unity is bringing a lot of folks together, white, black, different class groups, different races, different aesthetics. I think is, you know, poetry can be a very cliquey vocation in Philadelphia and the surrounding suburbs. And, you know, we have all different kinds of cliques that consider themselves poetry schools. And I think Light of Unity, I'm just thinking of the folks and the kind of aesthetics that folks are working out of in that group. There's just a tremendous diversity of perspectives. And you get that from the Poetry Festival as well, where we're bringing together kids who, you know, kids who really love William Carlos Williams, and that's who turned them on to poetry, and kids who listened to Saul Williams, and that, you know, the hip-hop poetry and spoken word was really their venue into poetry. And, you know, kids who read Sylvia Plath, you know, all these kids bring in their love of poetry, and then they're the kids who have no idea, like, what's poetry? What are you guys doing in here? And, you know, we just kind of turn them on to it. And I think that's what these organizations are trying to do, is turn people on to poetry in the ways that they're kind of turned on to all the other media stuff, the media hype. I mean, you don't really need all the cords and the cables to write poetry or to enjoy it. You know, it's kind of an acoustic fun that, you know, poets seem to enjoy, but we're trying to spread that joy a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I want to read just a little, one more excerpt from the press release for this Light of Unity performance, which again is happening on September 4th at 4014 Walnut Street, a building called the Rotunda, and I will give information on how to get tickets. But see if this doesn't sound a little bit like the goals that you've been talking about with the Germantown Poetry Festival. Mm-hmm. Arsenic Pizza will blow the audience away with work ranging from hellish to ticklish in a balance of rough and smooth, yin and yang, spoken word, poetry, music, genius. Part tragedy, part rock concert. Very interesting combination. Part comedic meditation. Light of Unity quickly switches between poets and passions to show the realities and complexities of rape, war, poverty, and our environmental impact. Similar to what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're definitely trying to give young people a platform to talk about the issues that are important to them. Not what MTV says is important to them, but what they say is important to them. Surprisingly, a lot of the issues that are coming to the forefront of their poetry are political and personal. So I think that, you know, I've read some really intense poems by young people that definitely, in terms of, like, their effect on me, have rivaled, you know, some of the poems that are anthologized.
Yeah.
In terms of the subject matter and the universal appeal and the way that, you know, the personal and the political are kind of made at home.
Well, before we finish, I thought maybe we could listen to one more poem by a Germantown friend student. Is that right?
Yes.
This is a poem.
Oh, actually, this one is by Keisha Duncan.
Yeah.
And she is a part of a group called Girls on the Move, which works with at-risk young women and helps them transform their lives through poetry, performance, and dance. And Keisha was one of the girls from Girls on the Move who participated in our Saturday workshops. And this is one of her signature pieces.
Great. So we'll listen to this poem called Bus Stop.
Standing at the bus stop, tired as ever, feet pounding like never before. Tired from today's work, working three jobs just to get by, but it's still not enough. On my way to go pick up my child, see, that's the only thing that gives me strength to stand here, my child. Had her when I was only 15 years old, what a hard and cold time it was. Her father never did care, left as soon as he heard about what was going on with me. See, I was carrying his child at the age of 15. I was smart but stupid at the same time. Time after time, my mom told me right from wrong how my boyfriend at the time was just using his charm. Just to get me in bed, see, I was smart but stupid at the same time, so I really didn't care. He had me open, I mean, as long as he was putting it on me right. It didn't matter how many times we would fight or how he would try to control me. To me, he was my man, tall, dark, and fine. But all that crap surely did go out the window quick, fast, in a hurry, because when I came to him and said, "Time, I'm pregnant," the first thing he said, "Well, it ain't mine." The hurt and pain that I felt was indescribable. But all that stuff don't matter anymore. I'm 18 now, graduated school, full scholarship to NYU. I'm going to be all right, me and my child. So working three jobs ain't the gist of it. As long as I can make a future for my child, that's all that matters. So if I had to stand at the bus stop, tired as ever, feet pounding like never before, then so be it. Because I refuse for my child to be smart and stupid at the same time.
I guess I was going to say that what I love about those two poems is that these two young women are kind of inventing their own wisdom to live by. And I think that's what poetry is. Yeah, I've always thought about poetry as kind of documenting your life. And I've been writing poetry since about fourth grade. And, you know, I could look back at some of the journals that I kept as a kid, and I can see my life in poetry. And I've taught myself how to live through poetry. I've recorded life lessons in my poems. And it's nice to see, and particularly young women, using life experiences as a way to create wisdom for themselves and for other people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm looking forward to this CD, is that I know that the people who are going to be listening to the most are not necessarily these kids' parents who are big fans of the work, but also their friends who are going to be really moved by the work. And that's the audience. We're not trying to create just the youth poetry community, but also create youth audiences.
Yeah,
young people who appreciate poetry too.
So we didn't mention that there is a CD coming out of this, and so hopefully when we hear from you, we can put a link on our website so that people who are hearing this podcast in the future can find out more about it.
Great.
Well, I really have enjoyed this. It's been a great conversation, and I've enjoyed listening to the poetry. And I just mentioned once again that I've been speaking today with Yolanda Wisher, who was the first poet laureate of Montgomery County in 1999. Thank you very much, Yolanda, for being with us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks to Yolanda Wisher for this interview. And thanks also to her students for their contributions to this podcast. We heard an excerpt from the poem Material Oppression by Buye Zulu, an excerpt from Drowning in the Bottle by Alicia Dantzler, and in their entirety, the poems A Coming Knockout by Moira Quigley and Bus Stop by Keisha Duncan. This is Dave Simpson saying thanks for listening, and come back soon.